Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners, and a blessed Resurrection Monday. How about that?
Indeed. It is Easter Monday, or Monday after Easter, however you look at it, and glad to be back in the studio this morning and celebrating that resurrection, especially as I was just sharing with Terry here. It's nice to get to open up our Easter music library and use that this morning.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. We have these liturgical seasons, and I think they're all, as we would say, meet, right, and beneficial, but My concern, like I preached yesterday, is, of course, the resurrection was for the forgiveness of our sins. Without the shed blood of Christ, there's no forgiveness, et cetera, et cetera. But I tend to think that some people, much like Christmas, put a period at the end of the sentence and forget the whole eschatology, the whole end times, the whole what it says in our creeds, our symbols, that He will come to judge the living and the dead. And to focus on, yes, the forgiveness of sins, but like our catechism says, where there's forgiveness of sins, there's salvation and eternal life. So my message yesterday, just like with the two Marys and Salome that went to the tomb and they saw this angel, and the angel said, you know, he's risen, he's not here, and I go tell Peter and the rest of them what's going on. Of course, then it said, well, they left with fear and trembling and didn't say anything to anybody. And this is the Markian sort of a thing. And I told people, I said, you know, I said, we have to stop gawking. I said, it's nice. Look into the tomb. There's nothing there. That's good. But we also have to move along and share this with other people. You know, the Christian witness calls us to talk about Christ, His resurrection, just like Paul did on Mars Hill. You know, you give the whole story and your whole Christian witness. So that's always been my concern, is that the whole resurrection story, we have to celebrate that, you know, and we do this through water, word, and faith, through baptism. And you've heard this before. I don't need to repeat it. But, of course, this has always been my pastoral concern, is that we just don't put a period at the end of the sentence after Christmas and after Easter. But all of these things, all of these liturgical seasons come together in Christ. So enough of my preaching, Andy.
I have to say that probably the funniest tweet I've seen lately was, just like my bank account, the tomb is empty. I thought that was pretty funny. Are you still there, Bob? Oh, sounds like we lost.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh,
I'm okay. Here.
Oh.
Okay, I'll tell you what I have here. Let me just read through a few things that are going on in the area of bioethics, and then we'll see where we go from there, just so your listeners understand what we're trying to do here, is just to bring them up to date. Now, some of these issues, they may say, I wish Andy and Bob would say more. Well, first of all, from the standpoint of making babies in a test tube, the whole industry of the sperm bank industry is in the billions and billions of dollars throughout the world. Now, for some people, this may not make a big difference, but men are being paid for this, and as a result, there's been an increase in, I guess you might say, paternity suits, where some men think that their male spermatozoa are being used to create their own personal child. But in fact, there's cases now where there have been wrong substitutes used, and people are picking sperm of children or of men who are brilliant and bright. So this is a huge industry of the baby-making industry, and, of course, this harkens us back to the whole issue of creation of man and woman and adoption. So that's one thing that's going on. The other thing is there's starting to move now in the United States, and actually in the United Kingdom, and believe it or not, in Germany, a eugenic certificate where some people now, here, especially in the United States, are looking for state-mandated eugenics. Nothing, and they say, well, this isn't the same thing that happened in the Nazi program, where we here in the United States, we eugenically sterilized about 80,000 people between the 1920s and the mid-1970s. And they're saying this, this is not the same thing, but this promotes personal autonomy. And not like the Nazi program, of course, that did this on the militaristic ideals. And, of course, this takes us back to where our current mindset is in this liberal progressive world, and that is this issue of I am a law unto myself, and let's not worry about what God's will is, especially as we have it in the Ten Commandments. So that's another thing that's happening. People are pushing for better children and more personal autonomy and the probability of the whole issue of designing policies that will deal with people in search of the perfect child. And then there is the last one here. This Brittany Maynard, as you well know, in concert with it, totally indifferent to Maggie Carner. She's pushing, well, that is not from the, well, actually is from Crave, to be quite frank, and I'm not trying to get into something gory here, but California now is starting an End-of-Life Option Act, that is Assisted Suicide Act, because of what she went through and what her attorneys are pushing. So that would be added to the additional Montana, Washington, and Oregon states if this, in fact, passes. So I just want to let your listeners know that this whole issue of assisted suicide here in the United States is much alive. I'm not trying to make fun jokes or puns on this, but it is true. Mm. And we need to be tuned into this whole issue, what the Lord says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. And the last one, which may very well be really not a life or death issue, but I know Dr. Bierman at the seminary wrote his PhD thesis on virtue ethics and is going to be giving some talks on that this summer. And now there is a doctor over in England who is just putting out about the so-called virtue ethics in medicine. Having taught in medicine with three doctors, he's finding that doctors themselves, if there are any physicians listening, they come in rather mature. But his research there says there needs to be more fairness, honesty, judgment, kindness, leadership, and teamwork. And those were the highest virtues that practitioners were looking for, but many of his doctors that he chatted with are lacking in various things. So this whole issue of, he said most of the conflicts that the doctors mentioned didn't involve a choice between virtue and vice, but rather hard choices between two or more competing virtues. Not trying to get complicated here, but in the area of medicine with this new healthcare program we have, mm-hmm. I think that this issue of especially honesty, to me, this always reminds me, Andrea, of what the Lord writes about the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is love, patience, peace, kindness, those virtues. So again, I hearken back to the scriptures for these types of virtues, which I know Dr. Bierman does. So those are some areas that I just want to lay out to your listeners and see. I don't know if you have anyone you want to pick on here, but otherwise I'll just pick on here in a couple of minutes and off we go.
Sure. I mean, they all sound interesting to me. certainly the laws regarding assisted suicide and the states that are moving on that always I find intriguing.
Well, you're correct. And I think I know we've talked about this many times, and I know other guests that you've had addressed this on his time. But I really think that these things have to be continually brought before us from the standpoint of the scriptures. I always tell people, you take these ethical issues, that is, what's right and wrong for moral conduct and judgment within the will of God. And of course, he says, you will not murder. And this means fear, love, and trust in God, that we do not hurt nor harm our neighbor, but help your friend and support them in all bodily need. And, of course, assisted suicide doesn't even come close to that. So if these laws that man makes through federal, state, and local legislatures do not fit into the scriptures, as Luther would say, that they're not the handmaiden of what we believe, teach, and confess, then they're not something that we should be addressing. And we know this. And it's clearly this whole issue of physician-assisted suicide, and it's interesting that this is being fought in California, and I think that we need to be tuned in, because people here in Missouri and Illinois, where we do not have it, I suspect someday, because people sort of say, oh, well, it doesn't affect me, I don't like that, when in fact it does. And so then I would ask our listeners to take a look at Romans 13 about why the Lord has government up there in terms of, yeah, he's established the government for his purposes. And so when these things come up and we have an opportunity to address them, we have to talk about them from the standpoint of the scriptures and confessions, and then write our legislators, whether it's the federal, state, or local level. So there are all ways to deal with this in both the left and the right-hand kingdom. And you are correct. This is an issue that when I saw this, I go, oh, not again. And here we go. And then we have the video of Maggie Carn and all of her witnesses and what she has been through with her family and how she still stands in Christ with her witness. So,
Indeed. And she does a fine job of speaking articulately and also being a bold witness.
Oh, unquestionably. And I think that's the last part there, Andy, that is so important, is to remain steadfast and immovable, and as she is, and those who are around her, and those of us who know Maggie, and to what we receive, we pass on like she does, not to deal with this kind of stuff.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss, for bringing these to our attention. Always enjoy our conversations and look forward to talking with you next week as well.
You bet. God's peace to you and your listeners, Andy.
Thank you. To you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 28 with Pastor Kevin Jennings from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. I hope you can join us for that. It's always a great study. And coming up after that, a little sacred music. And during the 9 o'clock hour, we will join together for morning prayer as we celebrate this Easter Monday right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.